confusing and swabbing off something with that.
Just keep going. I'll take it from there. I'll adjust my levels, okay?
Okay, you going to start, then?
Yeah, I'm rolling already.
Oh, okay. That's good. Let's go back in and talk just a little bit more about your grandmother, because I don't think he got it on there about your grandmother.
Well, about us, well, like I said, she always had from one to two old fiddles laying around there. And she had one that was playable. And, you know, I got interested in the fiddle, and my uncle got interested in the banjo. And he later made a good banjo player. But I'd go with her in the wintertime, you know, snow on. I'd say, hey, Grandmother, how about playing the tune for me a couple? Yeah, when I get my milk and my butter put away, well, I'll play a couple if I feel like it. So she'd get that fiddle down, you know, and she'd play Soldier Joy and Fly Around Sarwood the Mountain, Dusty Miller, some of them. And I'd say, well, could I saw a little bit? Yeah, here, take it. You can tell she's disgusted. Say, now, give me that now. You can do that like that. That's changing the story a little bit. But now just watch me. Now, here, look here. And she'd hand it back to me. Well, there wasn't no way I could do it, but she thought I could. And she'd say, well, now, how about you going out and help Gritter get some wood in, or go out and sleigh ride and play a while? I won't play the fiddle a while. So that was just telling me that she didn't have the patience and wouldn't be bothered with me. But to her, fiddle music was so simple, she had no patience to teach anybody. But she had a sound, Larry, all to herself. It was quick, it was clear. And may I add, now she wasn't much of a bass string player. Mostly, shall I say, two strings, three, you know, like a Soldier Joy, stuff like that. No bass, what you say. She didn't play a lot of tunes, had a lot of bass. But she was a good fiddler, and she lived to be 91 years old. She played a pretty good tune when she's 85.
You learned this Fly Around.
Yeah, I got the sound. I watched her play it so much. And then Vince Carpenter played it similar to her, almost like her. And then when I got the phone with it, it hit me. You know, just exactly the way she played it. And that's how I learned it. But she's made it sound easy, but it's hard doing the fiddle.
And what did she call it?
She called it Fly Around My Blue-Eyed Miss.
Did she have any words to it? Did she sing it?
Oh, yeah, she sang a word, but I couldn't remember, you know. And she mixed up a little bit of Jack of Diamonds in it. Now, I don't know how she done it with that pitch, but she did. And she'd put the words of the Soldier's Joy and all that, you know. And she was a lot like Maggie Hammond. She had an awful memory. She had a lot of words to her fiddle tunes, which was helpful when you was playing the fiddle if you could sing and knew where to pitch it to.
And she was the first person that you remember playing the fiddle.
Yeah, really, till it dawned on me, you know, I was young, what it was all about. But I was probably 12 then, and I kept being inspired by it, and I wanted to do it. But back then, you know, you couldn't get a hold of an instrument. And then when we went, Ed Haley came into Calhoun County. He came out of Ashland, Kentucky. So people's hard up, you know, and my dad had an old Model A Ford truck. We made up enough money to get a couple of gallons of gas, think gas, 21 cents a gallon then. And we go over there to hear Ed Haley play the fiddle. And man, when I got over there, I guess I was old enough to dawn on me. That fiddle hypnotized me. And I think three nights we made up enough money to took about 2 gallons of gas each trip. We got about 6 gallons. Made three trips, and I come home, and I said, well, I'm going to make arrangements to buy me a violin. I went to working for them farmers, doing jobs for a quarter, worked 10 hours for a dollar on the farm. Till I got 10 bucks, I bought a fiddle from Montgomery Moore, it cost $9.95. And I had to wait another week and work out money to pay the postage. And I got the fiddle, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world, but it wasn't really no count, no good. And then I had to get a decent bowl. Guy gave me an old bowl. And I got a fiddle bowl from them for $2, better than 1 year, and I got $130 in. And then I started the fiddle. And, well, it's on that other album, for that matter. Dang hard up, I couldn't buy a case for it. I just put in this big 24-pound flour bag. Taking up a holler or a mile from where I lived, there's an old man up there could tune. He couldn't play hardly any, but he could tune. I'd get that thing tuned in standard. And by the time I'd get back home, variation of temperature would change. But I didn't know the difference. I just saw the devil out of it. Till I thought it was out of tune, take it back. And I got to working on that Soul of Joy. Now I won't hardly play it. I played it for 1 year before I got it. That was my first fiddle tune. And then Carpenter come in the country. And like I said, we'd go up there, you know, he and Jim Cotteron, that his son-in-law. He was a hot mountain music band. So I got friends took a liking to me. He said, I'm going to take you under my wing, Wilson. I'm going to make a fiddler out of you. Make good notes. Got a pretty good bow. So I stayed with him till he died. And every old tune that he knew, I tried to learn. But however he died, knowing something I didn't get to learn.
So it was pretty much first your grandmother, and then Ed Haley, and then
Friends Carpenter. Yeah, right.
And let's see now. What tune did you get off Ed Haley here? You got Morning Flowers?
I got the Morning Flower and the Sally Gooden off me. Now, that was the first two we learned, and there's another tune he played there, thing of a minute. Now, instead of calling it Rachel, Ed Haley called it the Cherokee. But he put a little extra thing on the bass. But he wouldn't call it Rachel, he called it the Cherokee. But I never learned it. I just went ahead and learned the Rachel, for I didn't figure there's that much difference in the tunes. About three tunes there off of Ed Haley.
How old was Ed Haley when you saw him?
Ed Haley was, when I saw him, I'd say Ed Haley was 65.
How did he come to be over in that country?
What he did, he traveled all over the state. He and his wife to play music to make a little money. Well, there's a fellow over there by the name of Laurie Hicks. He was a good old-time rough fiddler. And somehow, he got in touch with Haley some way. So Haley'd come over there. And then when Haley got known, everybody in that country come near him fiddle. But Hicks was a good fiddler, but in no class with Ed Haley. And every fall, Haley would come back for them farmers and drop in a quarter, a dollar, he'd make up a little money. Then he'd catch a train back to Ashland. The next spring or middle of summer, he'd come back. And he'd play in Logan County, he would play in Calhoun, Rome, Clay, Kanoi. He hung around Charleston quite a bit. In fact, Clark Kessner played a lot of his tunes. As far as I'm concerned, he might not tell them, but I always knew that they was close on them. And Haley brought tunes like the Stony Point out of Kentucky, which the Stony Point was already in West Virginia, but Haley played a little bit different. And he instead of calling a Stony Point or the Wild Horse, Him, he called it the Gilroy. And in Kentucky, it's still going to the name of Gilroy. But no, Ed Haley would have. In fact, I heard him do it. This one particular night when he was over there at Laura Hicks's, Francis Carpenter come in. And Francis' father is living then, but he was feeble. And Ed said, Francis, said, I want you to play me the Camp Chase and the Upani Mountain. Well, Francis said, I can't do that. You play it. He said, I'd like to, but I can't. And of course, Francis felt so, what would be the word, inferiority, I guess. And he said, play it, don't let it bother you, I want to hear it. And said, I will learn it. I said, you got a bow there on them two tones. It's pretty complicated. So Francis played that thing. I don't know what happened to him. It's the best I ever heard him play it. So then he played the Camp Chase. Haley said, well, I got to hand it to you. I played fiddle all over the United States. I've never heard nobody could touch you on those two tones. So Haley went back and then he got sick. And later he died, but I don't know if he'd learned them all. Of course he did. You know, he had skill. He had skill like Clark Kessler or some of them people. But man, that the Upani Mountain turned him on. And he tried to play it in standard, and he said it won't work. Friends said, no, it won't work. So that gave me, I listened to everything, I didn't miss nothing. And Friends said, I can play the Patty on the Pike in standard, but I don't want to even play it. I learned to play it once like that, but I didn't like it. He said, tune your fiddle up where it belongs. So, Larry, I really paid attention to them old fiddlers. For they had something that they don't have nowadays. That the younger people does not have. They had a sound you can't hear no more. Right? It's not here. No way.
What's your favorite fiddle tune? Of all of them that you play, which one do you like the best?
Well, all of them I play. Well, it's not that older tune, but I like the Temperance Reel as good as any tune I play. And I like that little Rose if I get right on it. And there's another in there I like to play. I like to play that Rachel. But Temperance Reel is my favorite tune. And when I get the remainders of it, the Dusty Miller will be next.
So, and the Temperance Reel, who'd you get it from?
Well, now, the first time I heard the Temperance Reel, I knew this guy was. He's from Mercer County. I don't mean Mercer County, Summers County. And he played the Temperance Reel. And that thing sent me wild. And then later, my guy, George played it. George plays good. And I got to listen to that thing, and I never asked Vince Gerald to play it. I guess he could have. One night I was there at Glenmore, George was out there, and I said, hit that thing. And he hit it in 30 minutes. I could rough it out. Brother, I went to home and went to work on it. And that is my favorite tune because it expresses something or somebody in distress. To me, it's sad, it's good for the blues. And the Elzick Farewell is good for the blues. And to me, they both tell a tale. To me, maybe nobody else. The Elzick Farewell tells a tale of somebody died. In my opinion, some funeral. In the Temperance Reel, somebody, a death just happened or something. Bad disaster of some kind. Now that's the way I feel about my music, you know. I don't just play it and forget it. Every tune I fiddle tells me something. And if I don't feel that tune, I won't try to learn it. Don't do me no good. If I can't feel that fiddle, I don't want to learn it. And I play the gold race and all that. I like it in this place. And I'm bad as I hate to say it, a little orange blossom. And a little bit of the boil of cabbage down, and sugar in the gourd, the bar in the mountains. And that, but, and getting back in another category. Play a little of this. Well, I just will tell now. Get on Trace Little Footprints of Snow occasionally, stuff like that. Battle of New Orleans. Mississippi Sawyer, I think that tune has a lot of meaning. And the McLeod Reel's another one that has a lot of meaning. And Joe Clark is a plain fiddle tune. It is about as plain presented if you play it as any tune I've heard. And you know all these tunes. Like that girl left behind me, that just reminds me constantly of a big dance running about three sets.
Okay.
And I like walking in the parlor occasionally. Give him a laugh.